I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I would like to read the whole chapter. I was struggling whether or not I should read some of it, but I decided finally, I said to Mrs. Becker that I would just send her the whole thing. We're just going to read the whole thing. Let's read it together. Of course, I will lead us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read the word of God. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as the Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jar of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I spoken with that same spirit of faith. We also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. And all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Pray with me just for a moment. Father, this is your word. And my prayer is that we will be lifted up by your word. You will expound our heart. You will stretch our mind and our hearts to use this word to apply it to our daily lives. And we do this for your own glory and for the fame and the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that excited me about this text is the bookends, the two statements that this text presents to us. The text presents to us right from the beginning of the verses that we do not lose our hearts. Then he goes on almost at the end of the text and say exactly, precisely the same thing. We do not lose our hearts. And the question that's come in my mind is, why is it Paul says we do not lose our heart twice. Why he repeats it? Personally, I think he does so because he's honest. He's honest about me. He's honest about you. He's honest about the church. He's honest about all those who care about the ministry of the gospel in the church. And he knows that there is a real possibility that if we don't pay attention to what God's word said, we might end up losing hearts. I think Paul is very realistic about this thing called the church, and he knows that life in the church is not always easy. He's very realistic about this thing called Christian life. He knows that Christian life is not always easy. So Paul is saying, look, there is a real possibility that you might lose hearts. What is the question we have to ask here then? The question to ask is, how might we lose hearts? If that is the case. And I have three things I want to share with you. That if we keep our faith on those biblical principles, we might not lose hearts. But when we fail to do that, it will cause us for losing hearts. So, how might not lose heart? We might lose heart. First, if I can find my notes clearly. First, we might lose heart if the message of the gospel was not kept as a defining center of the church's life. We might lose heart if the message of the gospel was not, in fact, kept as a defining center of our lives or the church's life. What do I put it that way? Well, I think the tone here that Paul is trying to communicate to us is that there are people who are busy building the church, are busy planting the churches, are busy going to the church and doing all those church activities around the gospel that is different from the gospel that he, Paul, preaches. And the question is, how different the gospel of Paul from the other gospel? He said it in verse 5. He said it. Let's read it together. In verse 5, say, for we do not preach ourselves. We do not preach ourselves, which means there are people who are preaching themselves. Isn't that true? That there are people who actually love to preach themselves. How do they do that? Well, they spend time trying to build their own kingdom. They want for people to know how big is their church. And they want to make sure that they are the best sellers of book in Washington, whatever post or whatever they call it. They are the best sellers. They want people to know that in the whole world, they are the ones that have big, big churches. They don't care if the church is full with pagans, if the church is full with people who have not been discipled yet. I was very shocked and upset when I was sitting before Larry King, and a pastor said, his so-called pastor, came, and Larry King was asking him, so do you believe in hell? He said, well, Larry, I don't know. Do you think that Jesus is the only way? I really don't want to speak about that. Why? Because he's trying to preach the gospel that is watered down so that people can come and feel good. So his kingdom might be, by the way, I heard that he has 45,000 members.
And he doesn't want to tell people that if you don't believe in hell, if you don't believe that Christ alone is the Savior, then you go to hell. He doesn't want to say that because he will lose people in his church. And that kind of gospel we have in this culture and around the world, so much so that everybody in this country believes that he is Christian. Nominalism can kill the church. Nominalism can kill Christian faith. Nominalism can kill the gospel. And Paul is warning, is saying, be careful. Be careful. When you preach yourself, you are in danger of losing heart. When you go to the church where they want to heal you, they want you to have next day you wake up, you see a Mercedes Benz on your driveway, something is wrong. Get out of there. And Paul is saying, be careful. We do not preach ourselves. But we do so, if we preach the gospel, we preach the gospel to you as God's servant. We refuse the idea to build our own kingdom. We refuse the idea to become a bestseller. We refuse the idea to make people know that we are the one that knows everything. And we base the preaching of the message of the gospel only on God and his son, Jesus Christ, alone. And I urge you that we have to maintain that order. Christ alone. Christ is the only one that deserves glory and honor. And when we miss that, and begin to trust people, preachers, pastors, evangelists, leaders, because they know how to seven principles on how to make your marriage work. Seven principles, how to make your dating work. Seven principles, how to have more income. Seven principles on how to do this, to do that. You are in danger, in fact, for losing hearts. Are you with me this morning? You are in danger of losing hearts. You see, the only way we can get the true gospel is through Jesus Christ and his message, and his message alone. In fact, Paul thought that there are people apparently in Corinthians church that was preaching the gospel that was different from his gospel. In fact, they were preaching people. They were promoting people. They were promoting their own agenda, the personality, a pastor, an elder, a leader, a missionary, a church planter. They were promoting someone that they love so much. And in fact, they were promoting their own agenda, their own program. My program, my agenda, my idea about how I want the church to be. It's very dangerous. If in fact a culture wants to make up a kind of God that they themselves worship, that culture is done. You see, Christ is the fulfillment of a culture. Do you know that? Not politician, not all these anthropologists and all that. Christ, when Christ goes to a culture, that culture reach completely the fulfillment for their destiny. Why? Because we are made to worship God and glorify him forever. Any culture. And so when you promote a personality, a people, an agenda, you are in danger of losing heart. And he said it. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2 with me. He said clearly, we have renounced, he said, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced
secret and shameful ways. Secret and shameful ways. What does that mean? What does that really mean? Secret and shameful ways. It literally means a private and personal agenda. A private and personal agenda. That is exactly what Paul has in mind when he said, renounce the idea that you can have a private and personal agenda. Paul is saying, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. If you don't renounce the private agenda you have, if you don't renounce the idea how you want a church out to be, you are in danger of losing heart. Now, I don't believe that anybody has that kind of idea in this church. In fact, not intentionally. Not intentionally. But you see, we begin to pull out verses from the Bible to support the idea we have for how we want the church out to be. Let me give you a test. And just be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask you to speak loudly, after all, we're in the church. But I want you to fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Right now, I want my church to be a place where... What's coming in your mind quickly? I want my church to be a place where missions is a focus. I love that. I would love to love that. I want my church to be a place where doctrine is preached, is taught. I want my church to be a place where fellowship is important. I want my church to be a place where contemporary worship and traditional worship is, you know, people are divided because of the color of the carpet of the church, because of the idea they want, how they want the church to be. What's coming in your mind quickly? I trust very good things, very, very good things about what you want the church to be. But that might not be essential. That might not be important. That might not be central. For every one of us here should say, I want my church to be a place where the gospel is preached, where the gospel comes inside of our hearts and transform us inside out and transform our culture, our people. Can you imagine having Paul in your neighborhood? Or can you imagine having Jesus in your neighborhood? Or what about Peter in your neighborhood? I'm wondering if Paul will let you go free without telling you something. He said, I try to find every opportunity to share the gospel. But he said, we do that. We share the gospel without using a deception. What in the world is talking about? The deception? Well, I think Scott does this, and I'm going to do it. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm going to try to do it. I think this word deception really means all works, pentagon, for those who, you know, study in Greek. All works. So what Paul is saying, he's saying that people use every ways, every means that they find to achieve their goals, to reach their kingdom, to make it work for them. And he said, those kind of people, though they are not malicious, they end up distorting the word of God, you see. They distort the word of God. When you don't use the biblical understanding, the biblical word to transform, to build God's kingdom selfishly, you are in danger, in fact, of distorting the word. Not only they distort the word, but also they falsify the word of God for their own purpose.
And Paul is saying, be careful.
Be careful.
You will end up losing weight. Because when it doesn't work for you, you will say Christianity doesn't work. It's all fake. It's not real. Why? Because you form a God that you want in your mind and you want to worship that God. That God is different from the God of the Bible that you and I cherish and love. The God of Paul and God of Jesus Christ, the Son.
And so you will end up losing a heart.
And the only way we cannot lose a heart is when we open our heart and ask God to come and do his work in us. The work of Christ, what I mean is Christ coming to us and live in this world and did all that he did and die and pay and purchase my life and your life so that you and I can come before the throne of grace and boldly ask, as we sing today, for what we need and receive righteousness and mercy from him. That gospel, only that gospel will save us from losing hearts.
Brothers and sisters, we might lose heart if the message of the gospel is not kept as a defining center of the church's life. In fact, Paul said, let the light shine in the darkness, and that light will shine in the darkness, made its light come in our heart to give us the light of knowledge of Christ. Far away from Christ, some of us, 20, 40, or 30 years, we were far away from Christ. And God make his light shine out of the darkness, out of our hearts, to give us the knowledge of our Son, Jesus Christ. So you and I can come this morning and freely worship him. That is the kind of gospel Paul is talking about. We might lose heart if the message of the gospel was not kept as a defining center. And I would add to that your life and my life. It doesn't matter if you have a gospel, Christ came to you 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I think what we need today is Christ alive, passion, fresh in your heart right now. Not yesterday, but now, as I speak.
Second, we might lose heart. Paul is fearful that we might lose heart if the power of the gospel will depend on my own strengths. If the power of the gospel will depend on your strength.
He said it clearly in verse 7. He said, for we have this treasure in jar of clay to show that all this surpassing power is from God and not from us.
It is from God and not from us. If in fact I will be the one that will have with all my knowledge, my strength, my intelligence and all that I have to carry the message of the gospel, brothers and sisters, and make you become Christian and believer, oh, my brothers and sisters, we will be trusting in the wrong thing, wrong man, wrong person. And Paul is saying, no, the gospel, the power of the gospel comes from God himself and use frail people like just you and I. Frail people, sinners saved by grace. And I don't know how God does that. That he decided to use you and I. He decided to use frail people. But this is very interesting. The preciousness of the gospel It's fine in frail human being like you and I to carry the gospel around the world. And when that's happened, you know that the gospel does not come, the power of the gospel does not come from you. It comes from God, who do all things through you. Through you. Not even with me, with you, through you. And the more you realize your need for Savior every day, the more you see the power of the gospel work in your life. The more you have a passion to share it with other people. See? Beautiful. And I love that. If in fact the gospel might depend on me, I'm done. But thank God that the gospel will not depend on you or me. It depends on the power of the one that brings his own word. You see, we have a tendency of trying to help God. Why do you want to help God? Why? He said, I don't need your help. I want you to be open to radically align your purpose with my purpose, me, God. And through that, I will use my own power, not your power, not your intelligence, not to manipulate people and tell them what they want to hear. In fact, you don't need even to go and begin to tell people, when you come to my church, everything will be fine. You'll be in peace. That is not your job. That is God's job. What we are called to do is to, in fact, share the true gospel and let the Holy Spirit do his work in people. We become caught up with this manipulation. And we want to manipulate people to make people feel like, yeah, we have everything. Don't you understand that the church is full with sinners? And how are they saved by grace? Don't you try to help God. His power is sufficient to make it happen. Anyway, he's sovereign. Paul goes on to say, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our body. The more you recognize your need of Savior every day, the more the glory of God revealed in your life. Brothers and sisters, you might lose heart if the message of the gospel was not kept as a defining center of church's life, in your life and my life. You might in fact lose heart if the message of the gospel would depend on your own strengths. I want to go quickly. I know you are tired right now. But I want you to also know, which is my third point, you might lose heart, or we might lose heart, if the trouble of the gospel will not work. Is that a good sentence? We might lose heart if the trouble that we're going through, I'm trying to change it because I put all this in French and they change it in English. We might end up losing hearts if the trouble we are going through because of the gospel will not give us any benefits. Not only here, but also in heaven. And I want to say this for my personal experience and my life. When I wake up every morning, and my wife can tell you, the only thing I always afraid is to have a call from overseas. We have about 50 church planters and pastors that we have sent in the most dangerous place. Excuse me. And every time I get called, I get a call to solve a problem. Someone was beaten, or something happened to his wife somewhere in Chad or Niger, or something happened. And every time when I get a call, I say to my wife, "Here you go, I'm going to solve a problem. I'm not going to, get off of this phone for now." And I have to think about those pastors and pray for them. In fact, I told you in this church before that every Monday we pray for everybody, including you. In fact, if we don't do that, we will never see a result that we really, really want God to do in our life. And I wonder why people go through troubles that they go through. These missionaries in Africa, Asia, or even in Iran and all those places, and yet hang on to the message of the gospel and do their best, even including their death, their life, so that other people will get the gospel. And I think they do so, first because of the love they have for Christ, and they truly believe that the gospel must go forward, so the world will come and worship and bow down and worship him. But I also think that they do that because of the love that and the reward that Christ will give them in the heaven. For me, it's very difficult for me to understand this. That we sending these people, these men and women with kids, 3-4 kids, and we send them to Islamic nations, and these people know very well that they can lose their lives. In fact, what motivates me personally is what happened in 18th century when the first German missionaries came to our place, our region in West Africa. They knew clearly that they were going to die. In fact, they were carrying the so-called the luggage or the bag they were carrying was a coffin. And they knew that probably they would die and they would carry them back home. And yet they said, "We will preach the gospel." And I truly believe that the trouble that we're going through, the trouble that you are going through right now in your own world because of the gospel, the struggles because of the gospel, is worth it. And Paul said that what you're going through right now is light. It's light compared to those who have gone before us, Hebrew. Those who have gone before us. Some of them were killed and tortured and given to lions and all that. And right now, as we sit here and listening to the word, they are also sitting and witnessing to us. Someone called them the invisible church. Those who have gone before us. And they are doing that and praying and giving you courage. Say, don't give up. This trouble is temporary. It's momentary. You're not going to go through it forever. No. But sometimes when we go to troubles, what really happens is we always think, "Whoa, I thought this is going to be forever." No. The troubles are momentary, say Paul. And therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I want to tell you that the grace of God is much more sufficient for you. And he never promised that he will take us away from the troubles. No. In fact, he will help us to go through the troubles. And when you go through it, then you will know that there is a God that you worship that cares for you and with you every day. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart.
All the difficulties you're going through is temporary, it's momentary.
Not only is momentary, but it gives us a hope to look forward for the future. Look forward for the future.
And this morning, I pray that each one of us here, that we might not lose heart, because we will keep the gospel centered in our lives, including our church's life. That we might not lose heart, because the gospel, the power of the gospel, will not depend on all of us sitting here, but the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and the church's life. And we will not lose heart because we believe that the trouble that we are going through, achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So fix your eyes on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary. Shall we stand up for the word of prayer? Just stand up. Father, this is your word. And I pray that your people will find comfort, that you warn them against nominalism. You warn them against of trying to find comfort, to find things outside of your word and outside of you yourself. That you give them power to trust you through the work of the Holy Spirit. That you will help them through the troubles and problems they're going through. May this be true in this church and the life of people of this church. Bless us, help us, strengthen us, and go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.